What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, folks. Let's jump right into this because we've got a lot of ground to cover. We have Kevin Dolio coming on at 12:30, Director of Aviation for the Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport. We will find out what was the experience like in leading up to the Super Bowl as well as the aftermath of the Super Bowl. It turns out that the programs were setting off alarms down there because of the hologram. We'll find out what happened there. Brandon Buck, Research Fellow in Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, was the author of a recent article entitled "Invading Mexico Will Not Solve the Cartel Problem." We'll talk about a multitude of schools of thought that arise in dealing with the cartel problem in Mexico. Ryan Young, senior economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We'll talk about these most recent tariffs that President Trump put on steel and aluminum and whether or not that will contribute to inflation, what is and what isn't. And we'll continue that conversation. NOLA Coalition segment, the executive director of the American Heart Association of Greater New Orleans joins us, Coretta Lagarde, at 11 o'clock. There's been a lot of talk about what's going on actually with the archdiocese, with some of their ministries, their apostolates, whether or not they could potentially be subjected to having to contribute dollars towards a work while the archdiocese is working towards a settlement with sex abuse victims. And a number of board members at Second Harvest Food Bank were replaced the other day, folks that were, in my view, looking out for the best interest of Second Harvest, their fiduciary obligation the same. I had the opportunity to review a lot of documents. I also looked at the IRS filing of their 990 for the past several years as to what their revenues are, their expenditures, who they're paying, who they're not paying, what dollars are being associated to what. And it's very revealing about what it is that they are doing there, all good things, quite frankly. And just from looking at the 990, very little participation as it relates to the archdiocese and the actual or any financial contributions to that organization. We've seen a number of articles come out. We've seen a number of issues that have been discussed. The Archbishop had a video that came out the other day where he talked about some things. And I wanted to give a board member, former board member, that was removed by the archdiocese, by the Archbishop. For what reasons, I don't exactly know, but he's here to tell us his story, and that's Nick Carl. He's a former board chair, and he was the most recent past chair of the Second Harvest Food Bank, and he joins us. Nick, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So, Nick, let's start with, you got on the board in 2008, correct?
That's correct.
And one of the things that I heard a number of board members say is that there's this internal conflict as it relates to whether or not you guys are a secular organization, meaning that the activities and the mission and the vision of what y'all do have no religious or spiritual basis. It's just a basic definition. Was that your understanding?
That 100% was my understanding. The Food Bank was founded in 1982 by Archbishop Philip Hannon, Bishop Moran, and Ben Johnson, who served as the who served with the Archdiocese at the time. And they founded the food bank for exactly that cause, to be a non-sectarian food bank to feed hungry people. And that was the sole mission of the food bank and has been since 1982.
So I guess you go through an orientation when you come on the board?
That's correct. Every board member is brought on and given an orientation.
And during the course of that orientation, was there ever any representation made that your fiduciary obligation as a board member was to the Archdiocese?
Not in any way. Our fiduciary responsibility was to Second Harvest Food Bank and feeding hungry people.
But you did know that the Archdiocese was a corporate member of the board, right?
100%. They were, and on, you know, on all of Second Harvest's documents and letterhead, we clearly state that we were a ministry of Second Harvest, I mean, of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. We didn't hide from that fact. But the Archdiocese at that time really didn't mingle in what we were doing.
So there were articles of incorporation that have changed and have been filed, and most recently they've been changed again. I looked at, I think the last time they were changed, and there was basically four items that member corporation, meaning the archbishop or in his stead a member of the archdiocese, as sitting on the board of Second Harvest, that certain powers shall be reserved to that individual. One, adoption of the bylaws and the amendment of the articles and the bylaws. Appointment or remove, with or without cause, the members of the board of directors of the corporation. Three, appoint or remove the executive director or chief executive officer. And four, approve budgets and approve unbudgeted expenditures as set forth in the bylaws. All of which, all through the years, they exercised those powers that they reserved to themselves, right?
That's correct.
So y'all never really, there's no misunderstanding about whether or not the archbishop has the authority to do this in your removal.
100%. By the letter of the law, he had the right to remove me. My question is his intent and why he did so.
So let's get to that. Obviously, not unlike every other relationship, there's friction, right? And I'm sure there's been issues that the corporate member of this board, who, by the way, did not have any voting power on the board, right?
That's correct. All of his powers were what you just stated in the articles of incorporation up until he changed those 2 weeks ago.
So how typically would y'all resolve conflicts between you guys as board members? And your board is fairly large, right?
Yeah, we had about a 30-member board. I think, you know, that's what the bylaws call, that we have up to 30 members. We didn't always have that many board members, but we always had, you know, 25 to 30 board members.
So typically, I mean, I can't imagine there were many conflicts, but over the years since you served on a board in 2008, how would those get resolved?
Yeah, so, I mean, there weren't a lot of conflicts, to be honest with you, until I would say until, A, we started, we got a pretty large donation from Mackenzie Scott, who is Jeff Bezos' ex-wife. We got a large donation at about 2020, which just so happened about the same time that the Archdiocese filed their bankruptcy. And at that time, I would guess that maybe that put us a little bit, shined a little light on us, I'll say that. And there was a lot more involvement and a lot more requests coming from the Archdiocese to involve us with marketing materials and things that we were doing with, you know, as a food bank. And that always was a little bit of friction. In 2022, as I became the board chair, We started getting an assessment from the Archdiocese, which we really had never received before. We've always...
So that was a request for y'all to pay money to the Archdiocese, is what you mean
by assessment.
That's correct.
A percentage, that's correct. So they assess their parishes and things as a percentage of revenue and ask for that to come back to the Archdiocese for the services that they receive. And we had never been assessed, but we pushed back on that and said, look, we can't pay that per our contract with Feeding America, which is our parent kind of umbrella organization. We were never allowed to pay that. We can pay for shared services or anything that you provide, but we cannot pay an assessment. And so we kind of pushed back a little bit on that and got that resolved. And when I say shared services, I mean what the Archdiocese provided to Second Harvest Food Bank really was insurance and benefits for our employees. That's really the
which y'all paid them for.
That's 100% correct. We paid a fair market value per their invoice for those services. So that went on for a little while, and then we started getting some pressure to fall in line with the other apostolates, as they call that, to be represented by a certain attorney that we just didn't feel like would represent us in the right way and what we did. So we had a former board chair that was a bankruptcy attorney with a local firm that we had as kind of a counsel for us to help us kind of navigate it. And the Archdiocese didn't like that and pushed back on us a little bit. So it got to a point where in 2023, as the board chair, I asked for a face-to-face meeting with the Archbishop. And in July 18th of 2023, myself and our executive committee went and met face-to-face with the Archbishop, as well as Father Tim Hendricks from St. Catherine of Siena, and Father Pat Williams, who is the vicar. And we met face-to-face and discussed a number of things, including the assessments, which the Archbishop agreed to us to pay our fair market value as we had done the previous year for our shared services. And we discussed, us and our representation. And he encouraged us, but in no way told us that we had to fall in line with the other apostolates. And he made a point to tell us that our funds were not being asked for at that time, that they were protecting the dollars and everything of their apostolates and of their parishes. That obviously changed in September of 2023 when he came out and said that those dollars and the dollars of his parishes and his apostolates, they were going to ask for some donations. So it has gone back a long time. Go ahead.
Let me. I'm not familiar with that. I recall him saying that the ministries and the apostolates would not be contributing. But you're saying in September of 2023, he notified whom that it was possible for the parish churches, the apostolates, the ministries, that they would be responsible for some contribution towards the Archdiocese.
Yeah, he came out publicly and said that in 2023, that he was going to ask for parishes and other agencies to contribute financially to help with the court-approved process to settle this case. And that was in the media. It was about September of 2023 that he released that. And he released letters that were read in the parishes and talked about that.
Has that changed? Because I was under the impression, I've been told by many that's not the case.
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, interesting. So that led to, where did y'all go from there? Obviously, what you're describing is that you felt that you had a fiduciary obligation to Second Harvesters. That was your role as the board member. And obviously, there was this pull to be more non-secular, right, and create contributions to the Archdiocese, which I think y'all were concerned that that may be a problem for you guys as it relates to donations and affiliations that y'all have in the mission that you're providing with feeding those less fortunate.
That's correct. I mean, that's my sole purpose in my sole involvement in this process is as a board member that I have a responsibility to protect those funds, and the funds are donor funds. These are people that are giving dollars solely for the purpose of feeding hungry people. And that is really my sole purpose in all of this.
Well, when you say donor funds, because what I noticed on the 990, because I was kind of curious, that was filed with the IRS, there's a significant amount of in-kind contributions, food, commodities that are given to Second Harvest as well.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we receive donations, we receive dollars, we receive goods, we receive people's services and volunteer hours and things. I mean, there's a number of ways that people contribute to the mission of Second Harvest, and those are all published there.
So in the Archbishop's video, he refers to costly legal action and delays by Second Harvest is one of the reasons that caused him to take the actions that he did against certain board members. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought I read somewhere that most of these actions were passed by the board unanimously.
Yeah, so that's correct. We had representation, and I assume that is what he is talking about as costly. Again, you'd have to ask him. I can't speak for him. But what I can tell you is that in 2023, there was a full vote of the board that passed unanimously asking the Archbishop to resign as the sole member of Second Harvest Food Bank, and he declined that. What I will tell you as well is that I served in a way that I'm a Catholic. I'm a practicing Catholic. I'm a proud practicing Catholic. I don't want to sit here and think that this is anything to do against the church. But I served in a role that every time there was any sort of conflict, my phone rang, whether it was Father Tim Hendricks, whether it was Dirk Wild, whether it was the Archbishop himself. And I served in a role that really tried to keep happy ground and make sure that we were working with them, but also protecting our funds. That was my sole purpose of that. And so for the last 2 and 3 years, my phone has rang a lot. I've spent a lot of time and energy towards kind of resolving this and keeping this moving forward. And I can tell you that over the last 3 or 4 months, my phone has not rang once. I received a letter via an email from the Archbishop removing me as a board member. And to me, that's very telling.
So you make mention that there was a request by the board of directors for the Archbishop to remove himself. Obviously, y'all were trying to create another degree of separation to not be drawn in and to remove the possibility of being drawn in to this litigation as a result of the sexual abuse of kids by priests.
That's correct. And I mean, to me, we viewed it as we had a responsibility to feed hungry people, and the Archbishop had conflicting responsibilities to protect the Archdiocese of New Orleans and his role with that, as well as the role as the corporate member of Second Harvest Food Bank. And that conflict is real. I don't see how you can hide from that conflict of interest. And we asked him to remove himself from it, not out of any spite or any, we just wanted him to remove himself from that conflicting situation, and he refused.
So, did the relationship change as a result of that request?
He declined, and I heard at the time through the grapevine that he, you know, was hurt by our request. So I called him on a Thursday or Friday morning that I sent the letter. I called and spoke to him and told him kind of what had led and what had been told to the myself as the board chair. and explained kind of where we came from. And, you know, I had been threatened to be removed from the board. I had been threatened a number of things from different people within the archdiocese. And he claimed that he wasn't aware of any of that, and that he wanted us to work with Dirk Wild moving forward and to help kind of just resolve and get through that process. And at that time, things kind of calmed down. They told us as long as our attorney didn't really mess with the sort of the bankruptcy and showing up and appearing at things that they didn't want us to appear at, that they were comfortable with us kind of keeping our own counsel and advising us. And that's kind of where we left it. And it was that way up until the last couple of weeks.
And obviously you felt that that was the right thing to do to fulfill your fiduciary obligation. You guys have made a lot of representations to a lot of third parties about what you do and the secular nature of this organization, right?
That's my only purpose. That was my only purpose as the board chair and as a longtime board member, was to fulfill the mission of Second Harvest Food Bank. And again, to feed hungry people that needed our help. And that's my only purpose in all of this. In no way did I ever expect, when I agreed to be a board member in 2008, that I would be at odds with the church that I've grown up in and have, this was never in my wildest, you know, nightmare, I guess I should say, not dreams, did I ever expect this. And, but at the same time, I took my role and my responsibility very seriously to protect the funds and the dollars that were donated to Second Harvest Food Bank. And that's all this is about.
We got to get to a break. We're visiting with Nick Carl, former board chair, Second Harvest Food Bank, excuse me. We will be right back. When we come back, Nick, I'd like to talk about this $16 million that seems to be some source of confusion. In fact, the Archbishop has said that there's been misrepresentations about that, which has led to confusion and anger amongst a number of folks in the parishes. We'll talk about that when we return. Stay with us.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Nick Carl, former board chair. Second Harvest Food Bank was removed as the immediate past chair on Thursday, January 30th. Let's talk about the $16 million. In the video, the Archbishop says that this was a theoretical number that was proposed relative to valuation of assets that the church or the archdiocese felt that they should be paid for in order to remove themselves as the sole member of the corporation, basically, I guess, a buyout proposition. How was this presented to you guys?
Yes, and this came about kind of at the end of 2024. In December of 2024, our current board chair received a phone call from an associate of his that said that he was working with the Archdiocese and had kind of a committee that was going about trying to figure out what kind of funds they could pull together to help settle this bankruptcy. And he came and asked what we would be willing to contribute to that, right? I was not in the meeting, but I can tell you what was reported to me immediately after the meeting, and that they came and asked us to contribute, right, some funds. We said we could not contribute any funds per our contract with Feeding America, but if you wanted to come back with a dollar amount, we would listen, and I think we could get a group of board members or a group of former board members to outside of the food bank, possibly pull together some funds to buy that, right, just to have this go away. So we said, come back to us with a number. On or about New Year's Eve, I received another communication back from our board chair that said that the dollar amount that they came back to him with was $16 million. And he told them that that conversation was over and that we would not be willing to talk again. So that's where that amount came from. As far as how that number was construed, that was not in the assets of the food bank or anything that was said in that video. I don't know where they came up with that number or how that number came about, but I can tell you that that's what was kind of given back to us. And we told them, no way.
So there was no delineation of what assets they were talking about. There was no delineation as to how they went about valuation. or no communication about any of that. Basically, if you want me gone, the Archbishop, it will cost you $16 million.
That's to my knowledge, yes, sir.
Now, through the years that you were on the board from 08 until you were removed in January 30th of 2025, what kind of dollars did you typically see as contribution from the Archdiocese to the operations of Second Harvest?
Not one.
So they didn't contribute anything financially to the organization?
Not to my knowledge.
And there were purchase services that you paid them for, insurance and things of that nature. I'm getting a text from somebody that says that was given to y'all for nothing, but I saw in the 990 that there was a sum that was paid to the Archdiocese that was on the IRS form, and you believe that was for insurances and things of that nature.
That's correct. Again, we were given an assessment. We argued that we could not pay that assessment per our contract and went to the Archbishop. He agreed with that. And then they sent us an invoice for the shared services that we received, mainly insurance and benefits for our employees. And that is what was paid. That's correct.
Now, let's talk about the Archbishop in his video says that there will no donor funds will be used for the purposes of the funding of the Archdiocese relative to this bankruptcy. I mean, there's a lot of wordsmithing going on here and whether or not, you know, any of this money will be used for a settlement. He says, you know, this theoretical conversation about $16 million is not a settlement because there is no settlement. But the irony is that there's a tolling agreement going around that we talked about earlier that would extend the statute of limitations or extend the agreement to a date certain for purposes of trying to reach a settlement outside of, I guess, a court-compelled settlement with the victims of sexual abuse by priests. That's your understanding, right?
That's correct. And to me, the two things that I personally took issue with that were in that video were one, that there was a deadline of January 31st, 2024 for us to extend the tolling agreement. And that
2025?
January 31st of 2025, excuse me, I'm sorry. And that I took that we as board members and Natalie J. Rowe as the CEO were putting other church affiliate agencies and parishes at risk. And it's just not true. We had a tolling agreement in place that we had signed. We had extended it multiple times, and it was in place until May 1st of 2025. So as far as the deadline of January 31st, I don't know where that came from. I can tell you that on January 27th, the Archbishop sent a letter to Natalie asking her to sign the tolling agreement. And at the end of the letter, it said as soon as possible. Natalie then forwarded that to us as the executive committee and our attorneys. And our attorneys immediately responded saying, yes, we should sign the tolling, extend the tolling agreement, and we intended to do so. Again, that was we were working through that process. And then we were removed on January 30th. The other thing I take note of in that video real quick is that he said that no donor funds have been spent. What I would like for the man to come out and say is that no donor funds or no funds of Second Harvest Food Bank will be spent. And I think if he came out and publicly said that and held to that, I think that this whole issue would be mute.
Because of your concern for the economic viability of this thing moving forward, because there, you know, as I was looking at through the 990, about a number of the amount of these donations are huge. I mean, you know, you guys as a not-for-profit, I would think, are probably might be in the top 10 in the state of Louisiana as it relates to the funds that you receive, because a lot of people love what you guys do.
Yeah, and look, we don't just service New Orleans. No, we service 23 parishes across southeast Louisiana. So literally, we serve the southern parishes from the Texas line to the Mississippi line. So yes, the eight parishes that cover the Archdiocese of New Orleans are very important to us. But there are many others outside of that we service. And we have relationships with other dioceses. We have relationships with other, parish officials and state officials. I mean, this isn't just an issue for the Archdiocese of New Orleans.
So if there's been no contribution from the church, the increase in value of whatever assets they're talking about that they want you to purchase in order to remove the archbishop as the sole member of the corporation, that value was through the toils of the leadership of Second Harvest, right? I mean, you guys, y'all make money. You make money from a lot of the activities that you do, that so you're able to pump that money back in to your mission, separate and apart from donations. So you leverage donations, you leverage in-kind contributions, you run operations to make money to cover your operating expenses and the like, and you make a profit. Would that be fair?
That's correct. But at the end of the day, I would say all of that goes back and starts with a donated fund from somebody trying to help feed hungry people. And yes, there's operational income. There are things that we do within running the food bank to help pay our bills. But it all goes back to donated funds from our partners, and from really the generous donations of individuals, foundations, and people that are again trying to fulfill the mission of feeding hungry people across southeast Louisiana, or southern Louisiana for that.
We'll be right back with Nick Carl, former board chair, Second Harvest Food Bank, in just a few minutes. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Nick Carl, former board chair, Second Harvest Food Bank. The Archbishop in his video said there were a number of misrepresentations that led to confusion and anger about this. He went on to say that he will make the best decisions possible for the Archdiocese. It seems to me that the board members that I've had an opportunity to speak to believe that therein lies the conflict, right, between what's in the best interest of the Archdiocese and what's in the best interest of Second Harvest.
That's exactly right, and that's exactly why we have asked him, to remove himself from that conflict. You can't do both. And the fact that he has now, in turn, put the chief financial officer of the Archdiocese in the role as the chief executive officer of Second Harvest Food Bank, I think therein lies a completely different issue.
And I know there was a representation made, and I was just now trying to find it, and I can't seem to find it because I looked at a number of 990s that y'all were not affiliated with any church or other organization, that it was a private organization. The Archbishop actually, as the sole member, but sat ex officio and actually did not have a vote on the board. Would that be correct?
That would 100% be correct. And our bylaws and articles of incorporation state that.
So y'all receive a letter about the tolling agreement on January the 27th. On Wednesday the 29th, the articles of incorporation are changed, and they add roughly three additional things to the original that I read before, and they read as follows. Number five, approve, veto, remove, hire, retain, or terminate any and all professionals for services rendered to Second Harvest, including but not limited to accountants, auditors, consultants, attorneys, architects, engineers, and contractors. Number six, execute on behalf of the corporation any and all legal agreements of any kind with or without approval or consent of the executive director, the chief executive officer and or the board of directors, and the ability to, number seven, to dissolve the corporation. Those three provisions are telling, are they not?
I think so. And those were, you know, those were signed on January 29th. And on the 30th, they removed the CEO and the three board members. But to me, I question what the role of the board of directors is when the archbishop now controls everything that you just stated.
Yeah, there's not much left. I mean, you know, obviously those provisions are contrary to what's provided for in the bylaws, because although I guess the archbishop could continue to allow the board to do so, because you can giveth and you can taketh away, right?
That's correct.
So final thoughts, Nick. I mean, I was just kind of curious still why four members, the executive director and I think, three board members are removed from a board of 30 who had expressed themselves several times with a unanimous vote on any number of issues, contrary to the archdiocese desires. Why you?
I would like to know that myself. I can't answer that. I just know that I had a role as a board member of Second Harvest Food Bank and a fiduciary responsibility, and I upheld that and am proud of what I did in that. And it was difficult, and there was pressure, and there were threats and things done throughout my last couple of years of service to the food bank. But I can tell you that I sleep just fine at night knowing that I did everything I could to protect the food bank. And that's what really hurts here, is that the food bank is hurting and that the food bank is losing donations and losing volunteers. And I hear from staff and I hear from folks over the last couple of weeks that are hurting. And that's the unfortunate part, because if the food bank is losing donation and it's going to hurt our ability to fulfill our mission, then that means that hungry people in South Louisiana are the ones that at the end of the day are really hurting. And that is the unfortunate part. I could care less if I'm a board member of Second Harvest Food Bank. I was going to roll off at the end of this year anyway, and him removing me, he had every right to do that. That's fine. But don't hurt hungry people in South Louisiana. That, it to me, is the issue. So I encourage folks to continue to donate. And if you don't want to donate funds and you're concerned about that, donate goods and services. Go and volunteer at the food bank. Go and volunteer in the kitchen. Do things that can still help feed hungry people, and we'll kind of see where it all plays out.
Absolutely, and I understand that you've even encouraged the existing board members to please stay and look out for the best interests of the organization and not abandon it, right?
That's correct, and that was probably before all of their rights and were removed, but there's no need to run away from it. Let's embrace it. Let's help the food bank. And let's feed hungry people. And at the end of the day, let's pray and hope that the archbishop makes the right decision to, again, just to separate himself and appease the donors and everybody that we have out there, and just let them help feed hungry people. That's all this is about.
Nick, I really appreciate you joining us. We've made, I happened to run into the Archbishop the other day, and I told him anytime he wants to come on to talk about this, I'm happy to accommodate him. I've accommodated him before, 5 years ago in 2018, with an interview. Happy to have him tell his side of the story as well. But we really appreciate you stepping up and coming forward, and best of luck to you.
Thank you, Noel. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.